Item 4I.
If we could real quick, oh, just make a note that Supervisor Valenzuela left.
Supervisor Valenzuela has had to leave, so
but
he's
not,
absent.
But not Supervisor Chris.
Supervisor
correct.
Chris is here somewhere.
Okay.
Over, but he's not
just making
present
sure.
Currently.
Thank you. Sorry.
All right.
No worries. Good evening, everybody. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator, and I feel like most of my talking points today have been mostly reading statements, which again I'm going to do. So for this item, I wanted to inform the board and the public that the Climate Mitigation Fund administrators, Monty Mendenhall and Joan Smith Freeman, were invited to this meeting on February 5th through email, and on February 8th, Monty Mendenhall replied via email with the following, quote, administrators of the Klamath Mitigation Fund have been working diligently with residents potentially impacted by dam removal. I am pleased to report all claims filed to date have received settlements. While the Klamath Mitigation Fund timeline for groundwater wells and floodplain settlement has passed, as administrators, we have the ability at our discretion to reopen negotiations on wells or any other direct project impacts. Residents in proximity to Kopko Reservoir, potentially impacted by slope instability, have been contacted by the Klamath River Renewal Corporation. The Renewal Corporation has provided those residents updates regarding ongoing activities, including the results of monitoring. Klamath Mitigation Fund will be advised of monitoring and potential impacts to those specific properties. Klamath Mitigation Fund will work with those property owners upon their request or when outreach is required due to any impacts identified through Klamath River Renewal Corporation monitoring efforts. I must reiterate, the Klamath Mitigation Fund is engaged in private, confidential settlements with those impacted by reservoir drawdown. This is not a public process requiring public engagement or vetting. I respectfully decline your offer to attend a public meeting. Anyone eligible for settlement is advised to contact Klamath Mitigation Fund via our website, klamathmitigationfund@gmail.com, or letter to P.O. Box 1532, Yreka, California, 96097, end quote. And again, that is an email from Monty Mendenhall on February 8th in response to our invitation to today's meeting. Lastly, I just want to note that the county has invited the fund administrators to special board meetings in March, April, and May of 2023. And they were invited to the September 27th, 2023 Kopko community meeting held at this location. All invitations were declined. In addition, the board sent a letter to the administrators on May 24th, 2023, urging the fund administrators to extend the deadlines for mitigation for the various programs covered by the fund. The county never received a response. I will keep it at that, and we'll turn it over to any questions from the board.
So, Ms. Nielsen, I have one public comment on this, but before we go there quickly, we had asked, I think, at meetings past, for the financial disclosure on the operations of the mitigation fund. This, at least I'll say from my perspective, the funding mechanism that came from the KRRC is public money, and I look at this as a public process. I get that it's confidential with those landowners that they're dealing with. I respect that, but the funding that they're dealing with is public money. And so I would still request that financial disclosures for the operations of that fund, the amount that they receive, we were told $25 million from the KRRC, how that is being expended, and if any other revenues come in.
We will continue to make those requests. We have made those requests email, over the phone, through meetings. We will continue to do that.
Okay.
Sure.
Supervisor,
I'd like to add to that, what also makes it a public process is that mitigation is specifically identified in the EIS. That is a requirement of the FERC EIS. That makes it a public process, and the review of it must be public.
Okay. Anyone else before I go to public comment?
I didn't know. I missed who this was.
Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator for Siskiyou County.
Richard Marshall, 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, do you have a copy of that?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board and audience here, I want to start off by, I'm Richard Marshall.
Thank you.
Thank you. And a little bit about myself is important, I think, to understand the area I'm speaking from. I'm 81. I've had my real estate license since I was 22. And I worked 15 years in agency projects. I worked after that in major industrial and development projects, including Treasure Island Project, Presidio Project, and Mare Island, which I sold to Lennar Corporation. So I have a lot of experience in these areas having to do with mitigation, because that was part of what I did, as part of the work for agencies. And I can tell you, as has been indicated up here, this is a public project. And it began when the two states signed on as co-licensees. They became part of the chain of title and part of the operation. I was hoping Mark Branson would still be here, because I wrote a letter to him 2 months ago after our meetings at the Board of Supervisors and also here at Copco Lake. A lot of you were here, heard me question what he was referring to when he said he was in accordance with the law. He could never answer that question. He never did answer that question. What he did instead was he told me I had no right to know about it, basically, or deal with the issue, and that he wasn't going to discuss the Constitution with me. No, he wasn't going to discuss it. I didn't ask him to discuss the Constitution. I asked him what law. And he couldn't deal with that. He could not deal with that issue because he doesn't have a law he's working with. This whole process has been set up in mitigation as a, if you will, an insurance fund is basically what it is. If you have an automobile accident in a parking lot, somebody runs into you, that's how they've set it up, so that they can have deniability in the process and say, for example, as they say in their notes, if you don't accept our offer, take us to court. That's not how public agencies are supposed to operate. I mentioned before the Constitution. Both U.S. and California require that they meet with people openly, talk to them before the fact. Actually, in California, they're supposed to put the money up before they affect your property. And I can tell you as an appraiser, which I did for many years also, that the impact on the real estate values in this area by losing their lake where they had lakes, now they have nothing out there. The people downstream will be impacted by the revision by FEMA of the floodline. Will affect their homes, their insurance, and so on. And people will lose their homes as a result of that. None of that is to be compensated for or is allowed to be compensated for under the structure of the mitigation fund. This is not right. The county shouldn't stand for it, and our county council should do something about it. That's my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Do you think we can get it?
We'll just need to be very quiet.
Okay.
And it'll be hard to hear from folks in the back, but
okay.
It's our only option.
Go ahead.
Thank you, supervisors and friends. This is Mark Dana, member of the Dana Family Trust Property. I want to tag along with what Mr. Marshall was saying and talk about mitigation for loss of property, resource value, and tax revenue. I'm trying to be sensitive and without it taking minimized by comparing the tremendous wrongs done to Native Americans in our country to the impact of property owners along the lakes lost. From a bad deal for Natives, there was at least some minimal compensation to Native Americans for their lands lost in way of exchange for other land. Fishing quotas as consideration for their loss. Lake property owners impacted by this project have received nothing. Most lake properties in California are extremely expensive. At Tahoe, lake properties are valued in multiples of tens of billions of dollars. Homes on Lake Almanor are all in the millions, and other lake properties in California are valued at least twice the value of neighboring properties. Well, of all this property that we have, we found our place more desirable than Tahoe or Almanor or many of these other places, and we wouldn't have sold our property on Costco for several million. This isn't about money, it's just about how much we loved our place on the lake. At the same time, over the same two-decade period, the residents have lost value to their properties. First, from just the threat of the lakes being lost, removed, and now inverse condemnation by actual loss. These people have invested a tremendous amount of time and money planned for creating property oases and an enjoyable quality of life for themselves and their families and for future generations of their families. This is all being taken away from Kopko residents, resulting in an immense investment loss, which translates to potentially huge future loss to Siskiyou County tax revenues. And add to that insult, our state tax money, is being used against us to promote, develop, and fund this project. I'm trying hard not to characterize this as a fiasco. In the meantime, Siskiyou County has lost a huge potential to develop the lakes into an even greater resource tourism hotspot, which was expected to be possible as the population of California continues to increase in future decades. What I do personally expect is that if property owners cannot reclaim the lands that have been taken to the edge of the waterfront, those lands should be reconditioned to a safe state and be turned over to the county of Siskiyou or some other public entity for development of accessible recreation along the entire length for public use and enjoyment. There should not be any sort of reserve for special interest use only. While many devalue the importance of non-native fishes, those beginner fishermen of all ages who might have had bad experiences with fishing as a young child for any fish, whether native or non-native, in most other locations, became lovers of fishing by their incredible experiences catching both native and non-native fish at Kopko. I've caught many native steelhead and salmon at other locations in my life, and have had just as much pleasure catching numerous little gill, perch, and crappie, along with big trout, bass, and catfish all day long at Kopko. I found all fish, non-native or native, without available resource that has been lost to me for likely a decade of my older life. I hope that things will change and this will be successful. I truly hope salmon and steelhead populations recover, but there's just not enough water available to the salmon as there was 100 years ago, so we can't expect fish levels to return to those levels.
I need you to wrap up, please.
Recover to current levels. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. I think that's it on the mitigation fund. Moving on to item J, Ms. Nielsen.
Final item. A FERC update, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So as instructed by the board at our January special board meeting, county staff and our contractor have reached out and made contact with staff at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I'll refer to them as FERC from here on out. Staff have also worked with staff at FERC to explore options for communication with FERC regarding the Board of Supervisors and residents' project concerns. There are several options for communicating with FERC, which include discussing concerns informally and directly with FERC staff. We are currently discussing issues informally to keep FERC apprised of issues and topics at a county level. FERC has an Office of Public Participation, and the responsibility of this office is to empower, promote, and support public voices at FERC. The functions of the Office of Public Participation, or referred to as OPP, are varied but mainly include engaging with the public through direct outreach and education to facilitate greater understanding of commission processes and solicit broader participation in matters before the commission, acting as a liaison to members of the public affected by and interested in commission proceedings by providing ongoing process information on individual proceedings and responding to requests for technical assistance, and coordinating with commission program officers to improve or, as appropriate, make recommendations to improve existing commission processes in a manner responsive to public input to ensure processes are inclusive, fair, and easy to navigate. You may also file a formal letter to FERC which would be posted on FERC's e-library, or you can do a combination of all of these processes. FERC staff has expressed to us that they encourage the board and the public to reach out to their Office of Public Participation, or OPP, with their concerns. When reaching out, it will be helpful to provide clear issues and concerns that are substantiated with examples and documentation. And for the purposes of the board for this item, during the January meeting, the board directed staff to engage with FERC, and further direction was to communicate through letter or see what options were available. So we have the informal process, which is phone conversations, emails, where we express concerns or issues, ask questions, ask for responses. And then there's the formal process, where the county would submit a letter to FERC through the formal complaint process. It would then require FERC to open an investigation into the issues or allegations in the letter. And then it would require FERC to formally respond to the county with the outcome of their investigation. I want to advise the public and the board that this could take several months. It could be a very long process. We have been informed by FERC that through the informal process, we would likely get answers on a quicker basis. And so the direction in front of the board today is to continue our informal process and continue to report back at the board at future special board meetings, or to engage in a more formal process. And I spoke with Chair Kobseff on the break, and with Supervisor Valenzuela absent, we could also continue the informal processes and report back to the board in March and reseek this direction on this formal process. And our informal process would allow us to gather all of the factual information presented here today and expressed by the public and communicate that to FERC. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions from the board and any direction from the board.
Okay, and so I had indicated, as Ms. Nielsen said, that with Supervisor Valenzuela absent now, I think we need full five board member input. But I think that what has been presented so far today is also a new basis for what this board might decide on how to be in contact with FERC. I support the idea of the informal at this point, and Ms. Nielsen and our staff, with the information that we've received today, bringing that forth to the board, because there's new information that we didn't have prior to this meeting. And we meet the 20th, next week is too soon, right? Because you have to have it done by tomorrow. So that's a good word. Do we have a Klamath meeting on the 27th?
We were going to discuss after today's meeting if we thought we still needed another special board meeting this month, or wait until our special board meeting in March.
Okay. All right. So I have a couple public comments. Mr. Casale, I'll get to you in just a second. Chrissy Reynolds, you're down for that. Any comment?
Just on the FERC process,
And I think what you've provided, Ms. Nielsen, would be available on our website.
We will put this information on our website, on our web page for the public. Yes, correct.
Chrissy Reynolds, Go Lake. So I have a couple questions about the FERC process, the Office of Public Participation. I'm wondering if it's possible that you can continue with the informal process, but then again, coordinate a formal process. So even if it's longer term, to me, it just seems like it has a little bit more weight. But at least we're doing things in real time, as well as doing things more formally. Real time, whatever that is, I saw that right. And then I have a question. Are we still under P-2082, or is it P-2083? What is the project number that we're supposed to reference?
Go ahead, Ms. Nielsen.
So to answer Ms. Reynolds' first question, we have the option to engage in several processes with FERC. We are not limited to either just the informal or formal process. And as to the docket number on FERC, I'll be honest, it's been a minute since I went on there. Usually I just get information emailed to me. So we will check and we will put that on our webpage this week.
I think Chelsea,
and we will email it to
Chelsea,
you as well.
Chelsea, maybe you will answer that.
It's 2082 is the docket number.
Okay.
2082 is the docket number.
Okay. Mr. Casalio?
Chrissy actually already said what I was going to say. Rex Casalio. It's same thing. My experience, everything, I would also concur and suggest that you perhaps pursue both at the same time. While the other may be delayed, I was involved with the OPP formation a short, relatively recent time ago. Basically, what it seems to come down to was the provision for FERC to set a special interest committee that allowed them to put input that could actually subvert the science that FERC was dependent on having to make their decisions based upon otherwise. They were to include others involved. A formal process would probably be, though, a good thing to instigate concurrent, because in all of the submissions, in all of these years that I've submitted to post to FERC directly through informal process posted to the e-library, have resulted in zero replies. I have never had a single response from FERC for any of those. So I would suggest both myself.
Thank you. Ms. Nielsen, does it prohibit anyone from the public? I heard you say that they could engage. I appreciate what Mr. Casalio just said, and I get that maybe you haven't received a reply, but I'm going to say because the lakes have been drained, it might have a different priority, if that makes sense, that they might want to hear from you now, because there's nothing prohibiting you, the public, from reaching out to the contact that we'll provide on our website.
Correct. Forever. And we will email that out to our email group as well.
Okay. Anything from the board?
Sure. I'm with you on the informal piece, but I'd also like to bring that back at our next meeting to see what that formal process looks like.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, I'm tired of being ignored.
Understood.
You know, but I do have a question too. We're not the public, we're a government. We represent the public, and there has to be a government interface with FERC outside of just general comments from the public. Do you know, is there such a thing? I mean, every agency has different departments that deal with different levels of organization.
Yes, and if we were... And if I misspoke, I apologize. We are not interacting with FERC as a member of the public. We are interacting with FERC as a governing body, the County of Siskiyou. We will continue to do so. Any informal or formal communication would be as that governing body.
I mean, I understand that. Let me be clearer, maybe. Is there a FERC government department that deals with other governments rather than the title of this department is public?
We will bring that back to the next meeting when we discuss this.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Ogren, anything?
I agree, we should do both. And to me, this whole process has been a little bit frustrating because I get a little bit bogged down in the fact that not only have we shouldn't have to be the ones that have to push this forward. We shouldn't have to be the ones that are accountable to make KRRC responsible for their actions. And again, it's back on us to push this forward, and that makes me just a little bit frustrated. But we are here for you, and that's what we are doing, is trying to help you. So it's back in our hands to try to make this as public and as important as we possibly can for all of us. So yes, let's do everything we possibly can. And to what Supervisor Haupt said, let's try to make this as important and direct to FERC as possible and not be put in that public zone, but try to find the right people to deal with a government-to-government situation as possible and try to find the most direct route.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, I agree with my colleagues. Sorry, I am wide awake on this. I just have a head cold and just been phasing me a little bit. But thank you for coming here, and we'll proceed.
And just so I'm clear, and to make it clear to everyone else, the direction to staff tonight is to continue with our informal engagement with FERC. We have several questions to look into, including a FERC governmental department, which may help in a formal, in formally engaging with FERC. We will bring back to our next special Klamath Dams board meeting a discussion on formal engagement and direction where all five board members are present.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. I got one last public comment, Ms. Hansard, if you want to come up quickly. It's been a very long day.
It sure has. Thank you very much. Yes, Holly Hansard. Yes, thank you for being here. It's certainly a longer day than I had anticipated. But really, thank you for being here. And when I gave the verbal notice, so if it's not you, who? Like, I have no idea. I mean, thank goodness for Congressman Doug LaMalfa, as Aaron testified, but who, pray tell, sorry. I thank you for doing your part, but who is responsible? The governor? The president? I mean, I don't know. So maybe on the next meeting you could tell us.
My understanding is FERC is the main...
Who's FERC?
The initials. Energy Regulatory...
Federal... Sorry, explain it. Sorry,
I'm going to go back to Ms. Nielsen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should know who FERC is, but
FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is the entity responsible for approving and issuing an order for facilities removal. They are the entity that they were the ones that approved dam removal. The Klamath River Renewal Corporation, which is referred to as KRRC, is the entity carrying out dam removal. They are co-licensee with the states of Oregon and California, who are co-owners and co-project proponents throughout this whole process. FERC is the regulatory body. KRRC and the states of Oregon and California are the entities that own the dams and are carrying out dam removal.
Got it. So with that, yes, sir.
May I make a public comment?
Sure.
I think it's in the public interest.
On this subject.
On this subject.
Yes.
Water, right? So I just want to call to attention. My name is Michael Crow. I just want to call to attention the Nielsen Research Corporation lab analysis. It's been flying all over Facebook today. Reading through that is my understanding that it has been inaccurately interpreted. So where several people have reported today that the chromium level is 178 times over permissible exposure limit, I believe that's not correct. Their calculations, I think, are using reporting limits or detection levels as opposed to actual PELs. The correct level for chromium is 0.1 milligram per liter, not 0.005. So I suggest you guys just look at the numbers and know it actually.
Okay. And I think Mr. Dean, if he's still here, had indicated that his testing was different, but it was 3 days later. Right? You want to address that, or am I putting you on the spot?
Right on the spot. It's falling apart. Correct. I think what the gentleman stated there is true. At the back of your packets there with the sample analysis.
There's extras of these up here.
EPA and also the state of California standards for drinking water for those elements.
Okay. Thank you. I'm done with public comment unless you haven't spoken. So I would like to thank, our board would like to thank, and our staff would like to thank the community of COPCO for hosting us. Thank you for providing lunch for those that were here and the snacks prior. Thank you for the building. I hope that this was helpful. It was our goal to highlight the issues that were going on since they had pulled the plug and drained the lakes so that it can get a little more daylight. So again, thank you all for hosting us, and thank you staff for staying longer than normal. But drive safely going home, and we're adjourned.